sports ethos.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. It's the first post game of the season. I told you guys we were going to do stuff a little bit differently this year, and we are. I'll make it short and sweet. These post games, sometimes we get a little bit long-winded, and we run down different paths and talk about a bunch of different stuff. So really, what I want to do this season is focus solely on the game. So these are going to be quick hitter podcasts. Sometimes it may be short, like 15 minutes, but we're not going to run any more than 35 minutes on these post games. The Grizzlies win 127-122 in overtime. And Jake LaRavia didn't show up in the first four quarters, but decided in overtime that he would play some basketball and becomes the man of the game, I guess. I don't know. I'm not going to go that far. He looked pretty rough through the first four quarters. Not that he played that much early, but I'm glad he kind of figured it out. But I will say this with my whole chest right now. When this team is fully healthy and no one is suspended, he is not a rotation player on this team. Candace, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment. I mean, what else is the preseason for other than for Jake LaRavia to be getting game-winning baskets, right? Yeah. That's pretty much just to let you know what time of year it is, and I didn't see anything that I think really translates. I mean, 2 of 5 is – he's the kind of guy that needs to be a sharpshooter. Like, he would need to be a Luke Kennard-type shooter to really be a valuable – contributor. He's just not quick enough on defense. He's got the try hard, so you can see the effort, and he tries to use his wingspan to get deflections or steals, but it just doesn't come together, and I just don't see it. I don't see it for him. I think Roddy's got a clear case for being head and shoulders above LaRavia in rotation. I know maybe this year we thought that maybe there'd be some competition, but I don't think so. I just don't see it with Jake. So, you know, good for him to get a spotlight, honestly, while he can, while the opportunity presents itself. Because, yeah, I think not seeing Jake LaRavia during the regular season would be ideal for me.
Yeah, I'm 100% agree. I just – there's so many things – And I am the king of not rolling on a player too early, but some of these guys that are beating him off of the dribble are not guys that are going to be getting rotation minutes.
Yeah.
And we watched that, like we watched that in summer league. We watched it last year. You know, the fact that he was able to be a little bit more aggressive in overtime is kind of promising. But it's like, what does this coaching staff have to do in order to beat that out of him? It's like, hey, LaRavia, go out, be aggressive, shoot the ball, take your shots. And I won't say that they're forcing him to do that, but it doesn't feel like he still feels like he hesitates a little bit too much for me. He took 14 shots tonight. I didn't pull up the full box score. I just got the final box. I wonder how many of those shots – I'm going to pull it up. I wonder how many of those 14 shots came in overtime.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that breakdown here, but I would reckon a lot for sure while you pull that up. But my thing is, I mean, he played 19 minutes, and if I'm reading this correct, it looks like he had, what, 5 fouls? So, I mean – if you're letting dudes beat you off the dribble, and when you are trying to get a deflection or steal, you're fouling, again, I just don't see the value. But, I mean, he got a shining moment, but for sure, that doesn't take away from my overarching view on him. He'd have to show me a lot more for me to change my opinion on him. Right now, I see him as a back-end guy. And I think right now, based on when he came into the game, he was super late in the fourth quarter, or like midway through the fourth quarter before he saw minutes, I believe. I got a feeling that the coaching staff views him the same.
Yeah, well, he was like, he came in the end of the third, and he played, it looks like, just under 4 minutes in the third.
Okay.
And all so, right.
Better not know, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I may just be kind of overacting, maybe a little bit, but he just, there are things about his game that I don't feel like they're up to par. And I'm not going to go out and say, oh, he's not an NBA player. Obviously, like, he's got the talent to be at this level, but when this team is fully healthy, I just don't think he cracks the 10-man rotation. And I
It
mean,
looks
we've
like
been so okay.
only
Let
four of his
me.
shots were, so four of his shots were, he took 10 shots, it looks like, before overtime started.
Yeah, only four. I felt like it was more than that, but I mean, that's okay. Let me
That's
ask
when he
the
started making them. That's when he started.
yeah.
That's when they started to go in.
For sure.
Half of his
So
shots went in overtime, but before that, they were bricks.
if we're talking rotation minutes, who would you rather see in the rotation between Conchar
I gotta say Conchar.
and Laravia? Okay.
And I
Hey,
say that as somebody
I'm
who was really hard on Conchar last year, but I think he could just give you more his knack for rebounding. He can, depending on the matchup, he can defend pretty well. I think it's matchup dependent for him, but I think he gives you a little bit more on that end. And if he can get that three shooting struck back, I mean, I'll trust a Conchar three before I'll trust a Laravia three. At least when Conchar shoots, it looks, even if he misses, it's close. Like some of Jake's shots are hard bricks or like air balls, and that doesn't give you a lot of optimism. So yeah, I'll take Conchar and his reliability, his hustle plays. Jake tries to give you that, but it just doesn't translate to positive plays on the court.
so let's go. Let's get away from the negative that we're giving Laravia here. Let's start, we start off a win with negative. That's great. We're not pessimistic all the time, I promise you. Derrick Rose makes his Grizzlies debut, and
No Walker. No, he didn't have a Walker on the court. If you
yeah,
listen to David talk about him, then
I'm
you
just saying
think he'd have a Walker on the court with him the way he
It's
thought.
early. It's early. Like, if I am wrong and he stays healthy and the Grizzlies get to the playoffs with him being healthy, that's a fantastic win for the Grizzlies. Because even if he's not super explosive, he's been in the league for the long time. He's extremely crafty and he can go and get you points off of the bench.
Let me
So
ask you.
it like
I feel like you're
if
moving the game post here. I feel like you're moving the goalpost a little bit because
No. I
initially.
still, I 100% stand on the fact that he's not going to be healthy enough to be truly impactful on the floor for the Grizzlies this season. I think that he's going to play more of the, I just lost his name, Miami. What? Come on, Candace, you
Well,
know his name.
Udonis Haslem doesn't play at all. There's a difference between Udonis Haslem, who literally is just a healthy scratch, and
Yeah, and
like Derrick Rose, who when healthy can play. Now, I don't think anybody's going to argue health with Derrick Rose. Nobody.
That's like I'm not trying to like when I initially said that Rose is going to be more of a Haslam role instead of like a plain vet, like I didn't mean that as a bad thing at all. Like having guys like that in your locker room, there's a reason that Haslam has been getting a paycheck for the last, I don't know, when's the last time he played real minutes?
Exactly. That's the
Six,
point.
7 years ago, like
Exactly.
there's a reason he's getting a paycheck. And
There is.
so if that's the only thing that Rose brought to this team, I still like the signing, but I just think that there are some people that have like illusions of grandeur with him. Like they think that we're going to have prime Derrick Rose, and that's not the case. Looked great tonight. He was bouncy. He was shifty. He got to his marks. Like he done everything that he wanted to do. And in his first game, this is exactly what you want to see. You want to see him coming out and doing this type of stuff. I just don't have confidence that he's going to be able to do it for any stretch throughout the season. And if I'm wrong about that, fine, I'll eat the crow. I'm not backing away from it for sure.
I just want to distinguish the difference between a guy not being healthy to finish the season and Udonis Haslem. Again, that's not to thrash on Udonis Haslem, because I agree there is plenty of value in that, but I do think he will be more than just a locker room presence. I think if he's on the court, he's going to be able to help the team. And I think I stand by. I don't see a huge difference between what he can do and what Tyus did, to be honest. I mean, sure, maybe his numbers aren't as high, but I just don't see a huge drop off there. Now, the health, you're right, it's a question, but I wouldn't say that if he's on the court playing meaningful backup point guard minutes and doing a good job, that's far more than Udonis Haslem, right? Because like you said, it's been like 3 or 4 years since he's even played meaningful basketball.
Right. Yeah,
So,
for sure.
and I think you're right. I mean, some people are hype, but I also think that's because some people sort of clocked him dead and washed on site. And so I think some of that is just people kind of running victory laps on the fact that he doesn't look washed when a lot of people, said that he would be. I will say I think all in all, a lot of people don't think that he is going to be Primrose. I think most people understand that. But I also think, like I said, part of it is kind of a little bit of a victory lap just because some people kind of had him, like I said, like he won't even see the court. And I think it's obvious watching him at least that he's still got some game left. Now, is it sustainable? Can he play long periods of games? All questions, but it's good to see him still be able to contribute in a meaningful way on the court.
Yeah, 100%. The Grizzlies struggled from three. You're talking about we needed Laravia to kind of be more of that Luke Kennard type player. Bane was 1 for 6. Kennard was 1 for 4. Laravia at 2 for 5 actually shot the best percentage of any. Well, yeah, he shot. No, we had
I can
Lofton
see
made one, and
it.
Rose was
One
1 for 1. All right.
on
Well, any Grizzly with multiple attempts, Laravia shot the best percentage. So, it's shooting seems to be an Achilles heel for this team. And I don't think you can really one preseason game be like, oh no, they're in trouble. Like, I don't think that at all. I think that the shots were just not falling. Bane's not going to go 1 for 6 night in and night out. Jaren's not going to go 0 for 4 night in and night out. And you're going to see Kennard definitely shoot better than 1 for 4. So let's go ahead. If you got something there, you can go ahead.
No, I was gonna add, just I definitely agree with that. I don't want to make it sound like I think that that'll be an issue. It was good to see them get the shot attempts up in that short period of time. So it's good that, you like to see Luke toss it up. And I think one thing to note is that, at least with Bane, we've seen that it sometimes takes him a while to warm up. And I think he's okay with that, right? He likes to be in mid-season form in mid-season. So I think you'll see that really improve over the season. And Luke Kennard might be the same way. May just be that way with shooters in general. Takes him a while to really get in the rhythm. And then when they're in the rhythm, they're unstoppable. So definitely not worried about that, mainly for that reason.
Yeah, and Bane looked good out there. There's
He
no,
did.
I didn't see anything to be concerned about. Like, the toe looks good. He was getting downhill, making cuts, like sticking that foot out, planting, and going the other direction. I think that he's good to go. That's something. 17 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds from him tonight. 3 turnovers. Would like to see that be a little bit better, but I think it's very easy to see that he is going to have a ball in his hands a lot more, at least while Ja Morant is out, because you saw him initiating offense quite a bit tonight.
And I think that's to be expected because he ran those second units. I mean, yes, Tyus ran the second units, but they kind of would alternate coming up and down the court in terms of who was executing the offense. And so I expected that's sort of along the lines of what I think. And I think he was trying out some things too with those turnovers. So you kind of, I don't mind that, especially in preseason, like seeing what you can get away with, seeing what are the tests of your limits. I think that is totally fine.
What are your thoughts on? We saw Adams for about 12 minutes tonight. He came out, Rose hit him with a pretty nice pass for an easy dunk for Adams, and he looked pretty good coming off of the floor. How are you feeling about him after that media day interview, it was very weird. He kind of left people in a spot where they were questioning where he was at. If he was going to be able to play, are we still weeks away from him being able to play? Then we saw him 5-on-5 scrimmage in the open practice, and now he comes out first preseason game. Again, it's only 12 minutes, but how'd you feel about Adams tonight?
Yeah, I felt great. He looked like Steven Adams with his rebounding, with his screen setting. And I always felt like people were a little bit worried about that for no reason, because I thought what he said in the presser made sense. You're asking a guy who has not played meaningful scrimmage basketball in months, does he feel like he can play? And he essentially said, it would be irresponsible for me to say that because I haven't played. Right. And Steven Adams is the kind of guy who's gonna downplay before he upplays anyway. Like, he's just naturally, like, you ask him about how great he's rebounding, he just like, I'm just big, Mike, right? Like that's just Steven Adams anyway. So it sort of made sense to me that his answer would be that way. And based on what Jenkins was saying, based on what Zach left some wiggle room, climbing left some wiggle room in there. But to me, I think they just wanted to see him get out there. I think all expectations were that he would be able to get out there and play. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been given the green light to play. If they were still managing his minutes, or like saying that he wasn't going to be a full participant, then I would have been worried. But because he was a full go, to me, it's just a matter of making sure he doesn't have any setbacks. And so far, so good.
I like what I saw from him. Love, he freed up Bane on one play where he went and he set a screen, got Bane wide open. There's a ton of space for a mid-range jumper. And I'm like, okay, yeah, good. Fantastic. Get him on the bench. Let's get him to the regular season healthy. Keep working on that knee and getting it strong.
Right.
So he doesn't battle with this injury moving forward.
And along those lines, I don't know if you were gonna go next, but I just wanna emphasize that these guys have gotta find a way to rebound without Steven Adams, which seems to still be an issue. You would have thought that the way things went in the playoffs, they would have done a better job emphasizing that, figuring out ways defensively to be more engaged in that. And sometimes you just saw people trotting on the opposite side of the court, not even trying. And so it just makes it's still frustrating. They didn't go get another backup big, which I didn't agree with, but I understood, I guess. But they've got to figure out another way to rebound. If you're not going to go get a big man, you have got to emphasize rebounding. You can't just continue to rely on Steven Adams. And so that seems to be a recurring trend. And I'm a little frustrated by that, to be honest.
So I know that Jenkins addressed that in a timeout later in the game because Pete and Brevin mentioned it. They were talking about second chance points. Indiana had 16 offensive rebounds for 25 second chance points tonight. And then you saw Zaire go out fighting for a rebound. And that's not that you would expect him to be the guy that's picking up the slack. But there was a great dialogue going on. Did you see the conversation about, I think you may have actually been involved in it, about Jaren blocking shots and then nobody being around to rebound the block?
Correct. Correct. Yeah, because
So
I you go ahead.
it's in the media day when Steven Adams was asked about Jaren and his rebounding. Steven Adams done a great job of talking about the scheme of things. He didn't really go into a lot of detail about what they were trying to do exactly, but he was talking about rebounding, and the question was asked if he was helping Jaren with rebounding. And Adams, he's got a problem rebounding, but he mentioned that the scheme makes a difference. Yeah, Jaren is 7 foot plus, and I would love it to see him pull down 10 rebounds a night. But also, if Jaren's pulling down 10 rebounds a night, he's not blocking 5 shots a night.
Great.
So you have to have guys. Santi had 6 defensive rebounds tonight, 8 rebounds total. You have to have a guy that's their assignment. If Jaren is going to be allowed to kind of play free safety, if you will, and roam out there and be that elite help defender, which he's probably arguably the best help defender in the league. If you're going to design your defense and allow him to do that, then whoever is in there in the Steven Adams role, whether you're playing Jaren at the five and Santi at the four, or you got X in there, it doesn't matter who it is that's out on the floor. You have to have somebody that's in there that's crashing the boards, because it doesn't matter how great your defense is. If you don't rebound the basketball, then you're going to give up second chance points. And they were not rebounding the ball well at all tonight. So I think that, number one, Jaren can't be the elite defender that he is and rebound the basketball at the level that some people have expectations for. And number two, this lies on the coaching staff of getting these other guys to be in the position. Hey, you know who Jaren is and what he can bring to this team. So I'm going to need you to go out there and do what you can on the boards, because we need to allow him to do what he does defensively, and we need you guys to clean up the mess. And I think that needs to be the way that it is. I don't know how that's getting presented in practice, because obviously I'm not there and not in the coach's huddle or anything like that. But I think it's not a Jaren rebounding issue. I think it's somebody that's not Steven Adams has to go out there and get it whenever he's blocking these shots.
Exactly. Yep. 100% agree. It can't be expected that he's got to block, rebound, and also be heavily relied upon offensively, because people forget that, especially with Ja out, he's going to be relied upon offensively, not just to be aggressive, but to also be efficient. So he's supposed to do all of that and get all the rebounds. So what's everybody else's job? I guess is my question. Then what do they do? And so yeah, to your point, I think it is part coaching and also part effort and just guys being aware and not trying to get out. I think they're so used to being a fast break transition that sometimes that hurts them in the rebounding.
I think that Brandon Clark plays so well off of Jaren. When he's healthy, Jaren can do what he does, and BC is a good rebounder. And so he goes out and he does that. And I think that that's one of the biggest things that they miss from him right now. And as well as how Aldama's been playing, there's a lot of chatter about, well, it. Aldama keeps this up, BC is, he's expendable. And I don't know that we're to that point just yet. Maybe the Grizzlies are at that point where they feel like, okay, let's get Brandon healthy, and then we can package him up with somebody and ship him out to go get a piece that we need. Or maybe not. I don't know. But you could tell that Clark and Jackson have played together enough. They kind of feed well off of each other, and that's something that they're missing. Whoever that's going to be, whether it's X or Aldama or Kenneth Lofton Jr. or Gigi Jackson, whoever it is, so something has to be fixed there for sure.
Yeah, things just to watch for with that is just, Adama did lead the team with rebounding today with eight. Seeing if that is something that can be consistent. I mean, you don't expect him to lead the team, but like, can he consistently rebound, especially on those second units and the defense? Because right now, while as advanced as Santi is offensively over BC, what this team is lacking right now is big man defense and rebounding. So he would have to improve in those two areas for that to legitimately, in my opinion, be a conversation.
Yeah, agreed. So let's talk about this. Tonight's starting lineup was Rose, Kennard, Adams, Jaren, and Bane. Marcus Smart was out. We found that out pregame. So I think it's. Do you think that Rose got the start because Marcus? Holy crap, I butchered that. Sorry.
Marcus.
Woo! Yeah, do you think that Rose got the start because Smart was out tonight? Or do you think that we were going to see Rose, Smart, Adams, Jackson, Bane. What do you think? What do you think happens to the starting lineup if Marcus Smart plays tonight?
That's an interesting question, especially because it's after, right? So I think initially the answer would be they wanted to start Marcus. But because Rose played so well, it might be a conversation. And I always assumed that they wanted Luke to come off of the bench anyway. So they could just decide to just plug Smart in there where Luke Kennard was and keep Rose as a starter and see what that looks like. Now, I'm not sure if they'd roll into the regular season with that or not, but I got a feeling that we're going to see. I mean, Jenkins already implied he's going to run a lot of different lineups anyway for the starting position. So I don't even think it looks this consistent for the next game. I think they'll probably start some bench guys and see what that looks like. But in general, it's now a conversation for sure. Do you want Marcus to have to deal with adjusting back to being a shooting guard after Ja comes back, or do you just keep him in that same role and just plug and play Derek for Ja? It's a legitimate question. Now, I will say, obviously, I didn't realize he only played 13 minutes. I was going to say he only had 2 assists, but actually for 13 minutes, that's, hey, you really can't beat that. 6 for 8, 13 points and 2.
Yes,
man,
super
that's,
efficient tonight. Whew, super efficient.
Yeah, that's like Tyus efficient. Okay. Yeah, that's a real conversation to have. And I think they're good either way. That's what I like about Rose doing well, no matter if you think it's sustainable or not. What it does is give the Grizzlies some versatility options where, and maybe they even do it as a matchup thing. So we'll see, but you like having the options and you like having versatile guys there that you can move around depending on what you need.
Yeah. I think that, well, Jenkins said he's going to play the multiple lineups.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like what you said was correct. Heading into game two, we're going to see more of like the bench guys start to kind of give them more of a run. But
the overtime didn't
yeah.
help with that a little.
But I wonder what game three looks like for them.
Yeah.
You know, like what starting lineup is Jenkins going to actually run a bunch of different lineups out there? Are not. And that is obviously game two. I fully expect it to be a different starting lineup, mm-hmm. but I'm also kind of not expecting the starters to really play. And so that's why I think that the starting lineup will be different. But whatever happens with it, when we get to the next game, whether that happens to be game two or if it's game three, when you get back to the guys who are projecting to be starters, I'm really interested to see what he does with that. So let's talk about we've got just a couple more minutes here and then we'll wrap it up. Let's talk about right now. We kind of talked about Ravia closing out the overtime and looking good. It seems to me like Roddy and Zaire are a tier above the Ravia at this point.
Yes.
And maybe that it's Z's position to lose. Do you feel that way or no?
Well, I think they play Roddy a lot at the four. So, not necessarily. They tried him out a lot at the four this particular game, and maybe that was just an experiment, and you'll see him play more than three in the next game. And he did get, I mean, one more minute, but they played them both. So, it's really hard to say. At this point, I would still go with the neck and neck. I'm not sure that they're really – I don't have a ton of evidence to say that they're really pushing Z over Roddy in any instance. They got kind of equal minutes, opportunity, run time, and it's only one preseason game. I know they talked a lot about Zaire, but honestly, even Zaire being neck and neck with someone is head and shoulders above where he was last year, right? Where he was pretty much on the bottom of the barrel, and rightfully so, because when he got on the court, it was just a mess. So he looked better. He looked improved compared to last year, obviously. It wasn't going to take a ton, but you love to see it. He does play with more confidence, which is obviously a big part of his game. Now, shots weren't falling for him the way you like, but they weren't falling for a lot of guys. So it's hard to really count that against him. Roddy was more efficient with his time. And so, I mean, if you were just judging on this game alone, you give Roddy the edge. But I think just in terms of upside, you'd love to see Zaire and see if those some of those shots can fall for him. Now, he does not, I heard some people mentioning that he doesn't tend to dominate against those in those second units when he could have opportunities to. And I think that's just because that's not his nature. I think he can be a quality role player for you if he's efficient in his shooting and he's good on defense. But that's probably about his ceiling. I think the fact that he's not dominating in those situations lets you know he's not. I mean, because Desmond Bane was killing people, right? He was killing second units in his time. And so he's not Des, I think is sort of obvious to take away. I think people wanted him to take that Desmond Bane leap. And I don't think that's going to be it for him. But if he can become a valuable rotation player, that's more and beyond what, I mean, that's what the Grizzlies need. They need that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, development wise, so Bane was how old coming into the league? He's 25
23,
now,
22, no,
20,
22.
22, 23.
22, yeah, 22.
So,
He's a senior, so.
Year one Bane is what we are right now with Zaire. So what do we see this year from Zaire comparatively? And I know that, NBA experience is obviously different than the college level. So there's a bar. And I tip for the most part agree what you're saying, that Zaire is more of like Bane could be an alpha guy, and Zaire is going to be more of that. I'm okay being an elite role player type. And that's, if he turns into an elite role player, the ceiling for this team goes up substantially. Like it can make a massive, massive difference for this team. So
Agreed.
we're at that 30-minute mark. Told you guys we were going to keep it short. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up. There's a ton of stuff that I feel like we could have jumped into. We didn't talk about Kenneth Lawson Jr. and his minutes. Would love to see him get more than 11, to be honest with you, but
He will
we
next
won't.
game.
I'm not gonna hammer on that. Isaac will be back with us for the next game. Candace, we're gonna wrap it up, but before we go, I want to give you an opportunity. You got anything else that we haven't talked about that you want to hit on before we go?
No, I think overall for preseason, it's you just kind of take what you get. I think there were some good takeaways. Obviously some trending issues, but potentially trending issues, but plenty of time to fix those. And also, you got to wonder how hard guys are playing at this point in the season, obviously. So overall, great night, even better night when Grizz win. So yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah, I think the most important thing to take from game one of the preseason is it's game one of the preseason.
Correct.
So we appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll be back Tuesday night with another post game. I think Isaac will be back with us then. We'll see. If not, we're going to try and bring him to you. We're definitely not going to miss as many games as we did last season. Last season was
We
nuts.
promise.
If I have to roll solo on some shows, if Candace and Isaac have to do them, if Candace wants to roll solo, we will have post game coverage for you as many
Yes.
nights as possible this year, barring anything crazy. So you can go on Twitter, find the show at Ethos Grizzlies. I'm at NBA D-Will 21. Isaac is Isaac underscore underscore NBA. Candace is going to let you know where you can find her and take us out of here.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at CandiceH901. Be sure to give the show a follow. We try to do giveaways, so make sure you're giving us attention. And like David said, we will be here with more consistent coverage for you, trying to get you some practice access and things like that. So make sure to stay tuned with us. In the meantime, that's it. We're out, and sorry, I can't, guys. I tried.
You good? Go
I'm not
crazy.
Isaac. I'm not Isaac, but we gone.
Ethos presentation.